Psalm 23, I want to read the psalm here in its entirety, the six verses, and then we'll give consideration to a particular portion. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I read something from a well-known preacher, Max Lucado, that he said. Recently I read this, where he noted, if the Lord is the shepherd who leads the flock, goodness and mercy are the two sheepdogs that guard the rear of the flock. As I read that, I thought, oh dear, here's the Christian life as we try to follow the Lord, and there are these, whatever they are, sheepdogs or something else, that's nipping at your ankles to make sure you stay in the right way. Well, I'm not so much in agreement with Mr. Lucado. I don't think goodness and mercy are like two sheepdogs nipping behind you and scaring you half to death, as sheepdogs tend to do to the sheep. No, goodness and mercy is bound up in Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ that brings to us goodness and mercy. And it is He that is behind us. Yes, He follows us as well as leading us in our lives. So yes, He's the shepherd and we follow along behind Him. But He is also a shepherd that is behind us as well. And so, taking tonight our three words, simply goodness and mercy, I want to look at this, I trust, in a way that will be encouraging to us. First of all, the period of it. We're told in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Our lives never really amount to what we imagine they might be. I think everyone's different, but there's certainly some children, and they have this inherent sense of the future. They look to the future. They think about the future. They imagine the future. They project, you know, where they might see themselves in the future. I think there are other children, and they don't ever think that way at all. They kind of just meander, at least for a period of time, until they kind of land wherever they're meant to be, or wherever they think they're meant to be. But there are some that look to the future. But however oriented we are to think about the future, life is seldom the way we imagine it is ever going to be. Even to the most detail-oriented, to the most planned-out life, to all the efforts that we might put into planning how life may turn out, it never really is the way we might imagine that it would be. And if it seems to go that way for a time, surely the days come whenever it deviates from that course. Ultimately, life really is a wilderness. We are not unlike the children of Israel in a wilderness. And we face the wilderness. The wilderness of a world that is hostile. Hostile to that which loves the Lord. Hostile to those who love the Lord. And we are constantly then under attack. In various ways, our bodies, amidst the curse and the fall, we feel it. We are under attack. And there are the enemies that are against the Lord's people, and they are constantly coming and assaulting us, Satan and his minions. And ultimately then, the real evidence of the fact that life is a wilderness is seen in the death of Jesus Christ. If life was not a wilderness, our Lord Jesus would not have been received and would have experienced what He ultimately did. It's a wilderness, and we see it in how it treated the Son of God and put Him upon the cross, putting Him to death. So we live in this wilderness. all the days of our lives. Yes, He, with Christ, we are made to lie down in green pastures, but that's what's so amazing. That's what's so amazing. This isn't the lot of everyone. This is the lot of those who walk with Christ, and He is able to make, in the midst of the wilderness, pastures for them. He's able to bring them to still waters. And this is the miraculous work of our God. It's not just what happens in life. Life is a wilderness. We need Christ to eliminate that sense of the wilderness experience. That's why we need our souls restored. They are emptied. They struggle. And we go through those times where, yes, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We want to walk with God as we thought about on the Lord's Day. We desire to give our best to the Master. But the flesh is weak. And the flesh is weak. And its weakness is exposed by the fact that we are in a wilderness. Life is a wilderness. And so the period of this need for goodness and mercy is now. We need it now. We need it here in this period, in this time. We need it every day. We need constantly for our experience goodness and mercy. And Christ is the one who supplies that to us. We need Him. Beloved, we need Him. It's not just Christ as a ticket out of hell, as an escape route from the flames of God's judgment. It is Christ that we need at all times, because life really is a wilderness. And He mercifully can take away that sense of the wilderness. He makes a way in the wilderness. He gives the abundance of His blessing in the wilderness. He brings us to wells in the wilderness. As I've already noted, there's green pastures. There's still waters. He restores us. He prepares a table. That was the question, wasn't it? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? That was the question of unbelief. But you see it. They're meandering. The children of Israel are meandering through the wilderness. And their need is the Lord. Without the Lord, they will feel. They will feel the wilderness in a way that is very unrelenting. So the period of it is here and now. Goodness and mercy is for now. It's for today. It's for tomorrow. It's for every day. And the Lord knows our need of it. But notice secondly also the pursuit of it. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. They shall follow me. Now when we think about following, we often think about the commands that are issued, especially during the ministry of Christ, to us to follow Him. Peter and Andrew, James and John, Levi, they're all told, specifically we are told they're called to follow me. Follow me. And our Lord Jesus makes it clear in various passages of this need to follow Him. John 8, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we are to follow Christ. We need Him. As the light of the world, we are to follow Him. If we want direction, if we want to make sure we don't fall into bypath meadows, fall off a precipice, we need to follow the light of the world. And if we do so, we'll not walk in darkness. We will have the light of life. But we must follow Him. In John 10, He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. And in John 12, He says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. So there's an emphasis here. There's an emphasis in the ministry of Christ. You follow me. You must follow me. And it is right to exhort it. It is right to express it, to expound it, to make men aware of this need. You need to follow Christ. And we are all called to follow Christ. We have no place. There's no place for idolatry in the believer's life. There's no place for making other gods. It is following Christ, giving our lives to Christ, always endeavoring to hear His voice and follow Him. So we do, we follow Him. But we are told here that goodness and mercy shall follow me. Christ, as goodness, the goodness of God, as the mercy of God follows me. Christ follows you. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. If I'm to follow Him, how does He follow me? But He does. He does. Turn for a minute to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers... You know, I was thinking about that, all our fathers. He's writing here to a mixed congregation of Jews and Gentiles. In what way could the Gentiles say that the fathers were their fathers? The fathers of Scripture are your fathers too. They are. They are. You're part of the Israel of God. As you are part of the people of God, the fathers are your fathers. The fathers that we are to follow and to learn from their mistakes and their sins. And so it is in this case how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. That rock that followed them was Christ. Well, they had the fiery pillar that was there and that led them. It was as a cloud by day, it was as a fire by night, and it led them. And there you see Christ leading His people through the wilderness. And He would say to the children of Israel, follow me. Follow me. And so you read that they followed. They followed. When the pillar stopped, they stopped. When it moved, they moved. They followed. Day by day, they followed. Follow me. But something followed them. Rather, I should say, someone followed them. That rock was Christ. Christ followed them. Christ follows His people. He sees them walking through the wilderness of life. He sees them amidst all the challenges that they face and all the needs that they have. And He follows them. He follows them. Turn to Isaiah 58. I want you to see something here as well. Isaiah 58. Now I'll take the time to read the opening verses here. Because the context, I think, is important in order to truly grasp the blessing of what is later promised. So Isaiah 58 verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Yes. If you ever think, tone it down, preacher, tone it down. No, there's sometimes the preacher has to lift up his voice like a trumpet. And show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Now here's what they're saying. Here's what the preacher is preaching to a people, and this is what they believe. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labours. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. So, you've obviously seen in the last text there, the Lord is saying, the glory of the Lord will be behind you. But why is that significant? Why? And I was musing on this, thinking, what's the significance here? And it just hit me. You want to know the Lord is following you when you know that you struggle. It's the stragglers that need people to come up behind them. The weak that understand the need for their Lord to see, look, there's one of my sheep. They're injured. They're afflicted. They're sick. They're slowing down. The heat of the day is getting the better of them. And if Christ is only at the front, perhaps he'll not see. But he's not. He's behind. Christ is behind. He follows them. He's right behind them. And so the significance then in this passage, Isaiah 8, what is it? Well, they're saying, we're doing everything you've called us to do, Lord. We're doing all the worship, going through all the fasts and everything else. But here's what he is looking for. That they would see the stragglers. You're ignoring the stragglers. Loose the bands of wickedness, verse 6. Undo the heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free. Break every yoke. Those are the ones who fall behind. Those are the stragglers in the group. And you're ignoring them. You're ignoring them. And because you ignore the stragglers, your God will not be behind you when you're struggling. But he says, no, if you pay attention to the stragglers. I'll be there, I'll be your reward. I'll be there to pick you up. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday, and so on and so forth. The Lord will guide us and everything else. But he'll be behind us. That's our point here. So of course the application is very important. If we see others that are struggling, we don't ignore them, and we don't point the finger and find fault with them. We come behind them. Try to help them. And the Lord then says, I've got your back. I've got your back. But that's the encouragement. Goodness and mercy. Oh yes, that's what we want. That's what we want, goodness and mercy. We want Christ following us all the days of our lives. Don't we? That's what we need in this wilderness experience. That's what the psalmist says, isn't it? Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So this is the experience that we have. The pursuit of Christ has goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life. And thirdly, and finally, the particulars of it, goodness and mercy, those are the particular words or expressions of Christ coming behind his people. I don't want to take too much time here, but you think of Peter, you think of what's said about Peter, that he followed afar off. And I'm following afar off that led to the disastrous events that unfold. He denies the Lord with curses and oaths. And he failed in his following. Yes, he was told, follow me. We're going right back at the beginning. Peter, follow me. And he left his nets and off he went and he followed the Lord. And he is following afar off. He's a straggler. He's struggling behind. And what does Peter need more than anything else? He needs the Lord that he is endeavoring to follow to be behind him. And he is. The Lord comes behind Peter. After the cross and his resurrection, one of the first things on our Savior's mind is following Peter. Go and tell the disciples, and Peter also, make sure he knows, as Christ following, that's his goodness, that's his mercy, following the disciple that has fallen short, that has tripped up, that is struggling. Ah, Christian, you've been there. You've been there. You have been there. Far too many times we have been there. Backslidden, cold, indifferent, hardened, critical, hypocritical. And we're struggling. We're not really enjoying the Lord. And we're following this thing and that thing and really the passions of our own hearts. And we're stumbling. And the Lord sees it and He comes behind. And goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. I need it all the days of my life. Not just in the beginning. When I'm learning this Christian walk. When I'm getting established, I need it then. For sure I need it then. And yes, children, it's an encouragement for you. Jesus follows you. And you're struggling. You're struggling to obey mom and dad. You're struggling to be consistent in your profession of faith. And boys and girls, that's the same. It's the same for us all. And you can fall back tonight and know, Jesus, not only am I trying to follow Him, but He is following me. He's got your back. He's right behind you. He comes along, He sees the little lamb struggling, and He's right there. Not like a sheepdog, nipping at them and scaring them half to death. No, it's the tender shepherd still, who leads the way, who's also behind them. And with goodness and mercy, He follows all the days of your life. From your infancy, from your childhood, right up through adulthood, there Jesus Christ is following you all the days of your life. And He's there. He followed you today out to work. And He followed you today into your problems. And He followed you today across all the things that you faced. He was there. He was there. And He followed you. He followed you into the house of God. He'd follow you out of the house of God. He'd follow you into your bed. He's right there watching over. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He will follow. He's following. Oh, is that not good? Is it not good to know? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's not judgment and condemnation. It's not that that follows us. That's paid for. Christ paid it all in full. In full, complete, is the atonement made. And so what follows you is goodness and mercy. Yes. We don't deserve it. We are so undeserving. If you said, follow me, that would be a mercy. And then if we meandered off, he might rightly say, well, it's your fault. Now, that's the Arminian doctrine, isn't it? That's the Arminian doctrine. The Arminian doctrine has a shepherd before who says, follow me, and it doesn't have a shepherd behind. With goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. So you may fall. And fall utterly. But the the steps of one that belongs to the Lord. That man, though he fall, yet shall he not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. He's following. Christian, he's there every day, every day. His omnipotent arm. At the front he says, follow me. And behind he's following with goodness and mercy all the days of my life. Now, we wouldn't even be here tonight if it wasn't true. We'd have fallen away a long time ago. May the Lord help us. May he enable us to rejoice in this tonight, even as we pray.